It's good to be here, and I appreciate this opportunity. I won't say I'm not nervous, but that's just being honest. But as I was sitting there, it's kind of a simple message, but really it's profound. I was sitting there, and you know, the devil will attack you at the most inopportune time, and he's attacking my mind and trying to get me off my meditation on what I'm going to teach on today. And I got to thinking, and actually the very thing I'm going to teach on is what he was trying to do to me sitting there in that pew. So just pray for me, and we'll turn to Exodus chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 6. This is talking about the Passover, where they were to put eat the lamb, cut up the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and above the doorpost. And it was a sign that they were getting ready to head out, that they were getting ready to leave Egypt. And let me read here. "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof." That means the inner parts, the bowels. "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it." Now listen to this. "With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." Keep it in your memory, is what he's saying. "You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever." That's something that the children of Israel remembered all throughout, you know, the Old Testament. You hear them going back and talking about that remembrance of when they came out of Egypt by the mighty hand of the Lord. And today, that verse there, it says, "Thus shall ye eat it." This is how the Lord was telling them to eat of this Passover, the Lord's Supper, "with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand." And this is just a simple message today, and I hope it's a help to you. It was a help to me. But the word gird means to hedge. It means to enclose, to invest. It has several different meanings once I got into studying about this. It also means to clothe. It means to furnish. And then lastly here, I think in more of the Greek translation, it means to equip or to prepare. To have our loins girded means we're prepared. We're ready to leave out. We're ready to, we know the signs of the times. We know how this world is rocking and reeling. And we see in the Word of God, he's given us his Word to show us what's happening and what would happen before the last days. And so here I think he's telling, just as he's telling the Jews and the Israelites here, he's telling us to be ready. Be ready. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize. And loins girded means as prepared for a journey or a sign of readiness for service or endeavor. And my first point here is the children of Israel were to be prepared and ready to leave Egypt. And I think today, you know, we hear that over and over. You hear, you know, preaching on it and teaching on it, but that's why we hear it so much. The Lord wants to continuously put in our minds as a remembrance here, just like the children of Israel, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. He's on His way. We've got the signs in the Word of God. And those signs, guess what? They match up with the world. You see, you know, the hurricanes. You see the way this world's rocking and reeling. You see sin running rampant. You see, you know, men running rampant with no kind of conscience, no barrier, you know, no kind of standard or expectation. And today I think the Lord would say again, you know, keep your head up, stay focused, and don't forget, you know, we're going to be out of here soon. And I was thinking, when I was talking about this first concept last night, I've got a picture of my mom on the wall, and I'd always heard people say, it gets sweeter over time, you know, after you've been saved. I think I've been saved right around 10 years now. And I think that's true, because I got to thinking about my mom and, you know, that longing to be with her again and our longing to be with Christ again. And the more I think about her and going to heaven, I get to be reunited with her. I get to see her again, and it makes it sweeter. You long for that more and more. And I think today that the Lord would say, you know, not just in your mind, you know, remember and stay focused, but in our hearts, you know, let's continuously, you know, think on things that pertain to the Lord and the condition of our circumstance, you know, not the world. And I'd listen to a lesson that John had taught not long ago, where he's talking about swerving, you know, stay focused, and things that'll get you to swerve is other people and other things. And today I think the Lord would just have us to remember He's returning, He's on His way, and you know, we hear it so much, but He could come tonight. He could come today right after the service, you know, we just don't know. They were to be prepared to flee or to be ready for battle. They did not know when they were to leave. It's pretty much like they were eating that Passover lamb in a ready state. It says with their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand. And I don't know how you would do that sitting down, but it looks like to me that they were eating standing up, ready at a moment's instance to leave in a ready state. They had to be prepared to flee, or they had to be prepared for battle. They didn't know. They didn't know what time they would leave. And Jewish clothing, the essential garment for a Jew, was a tunic. It's just a long robe. And it was tradition for all Jews or Israelites to wear a similar type tunic. You know, it came all the way down close to the ankles. And the girdle was often made of leather or cloth. Now, a girdle was almost like a belt. It went around their waist, and at times they would loosen it, and there were certain reasons that they would tighten it. And here it says, it was used to hold the tunic to the waist. It was used to hold money. It was used to hold tools for working and weapons. It was used to hold weapons for war. It signifies the person was ready for service. Fastening their girdle or girding up your loins would prevent the tunic from getting in their way, and was done whenever a man needed to run, fight, or perform hard labor. And I think that today the Lord's saying, gird up your loins. You know, you gird up almost sounds like gear up. Gear up. Gird up. Don't let down. Don't go to sleep. Don't lay back. You know, don't get relaxed. Gird up. Get ready. And I thought this was good. To loosen the girdle meant the person was relaxed or resting. In a relaxed resting state. You know. And I think that, you know, not, of course, this is for me too, but you know, have we loosened our girdle? You know, could we be a little bit tighter? You know, could we be a little bit more ready? You know, when I think of that, I think of, you know, well, I know I'm ready. I'm saved. I have on my tunic. I have on the robe of the righteousness of Christ. But what about my loved ones, my lost loved ones? You know, there's times I'll be driving down the road or something, and I'll feel you'll just feel compassion, or you'll feel a burden to see them saved. But over time, you know, different seasons and different emotions, you start to lose that. And today I think the Lord would say, you know, if we're ready, we need to be adamant that to get someone else ready. We need to be adamant to keep inviting them to church, you know, to keep giving them the Word of God. Don't lay down, don't give up, don't give out. And I think that's what Satan does. Over time, he'll get you to kind of lay down a little bit. He'll get you kind of slow down. And then that's a progression. It's just a progression. And I think today, you know, he would say, let's get more zealous. You know, we're closer to the time of the Lord's return, but we're doing the opposite. So if we're doing the opposite, that means closer to his return, we're getting slower. We're going down. I think we need to get zealous. We need to get on fire for God. We need to get, and I'm talking, preaching to myself too, but, you know, we've got to be wise. The Bible says to be sober, vigilant, for your devil, you know, he's like a roaring lion. He seeketh who he may devour. Well, devour means a pretty strong word. You know, that's not saying he's just coming to prod you a little bit. He's coming to devour us. And so my question would be, you know, we are ready to leave as far as salvation, but, you know, have we done all we can do to try to prepare loved ones to leave? You know, we're looking for his appearing, our loins girt about. And right here, I want to give just a few reasons to gird up. You know, the Israelites were directed to be prepared to depart Egypt at an hour's notice, to eat the Passover meal in a ready state. And I thought of this. When I first got saved, up to right now, you know, when you first get saved, God has to give you faith. You know, and it's not a man's faith. It's not artificial faith. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it says the faith. Are you in the faith? And that faith don't stop. But I thought, you know, when you first get saved, the Lord, he makes himself known to you. He gives you faith. He gives you patience. You know, he gives you faithfulness. But over time, I remember back then, you know, I'd pray about everything. It's almost like I would rely on the Lord for everything. But I guess the true test is, are we faithing more now than we did back then? Are we relying more on the world now than on Christ? We've got phones where you can talk basically anywhere. We've got, you know, all these technologies and devices. But, you know, has it hampered our faith? And I have to say, I believed more and had faith more in the Lord back then than I do now. I would pray about more simpler things. But the Lord wants us to pray about everything. You know, I'd pray about a new car. I'd pray about, you know, a house. I'd pray about my future. You know, now it's just like, well, if you've got the money and you've got the time, you know, take a day off and go get it done. You know, don't seek out the Lord's will. Don't seek out the Lord's knowledge. So the Lord tells us to be prepared, girded about, tighten up our gird. The Israelites saw the signs and events that signified their departure. I can see them where they were at. Not only were they told what to do with this lamb, you know, which speaks of Christ, and they were told to put the blood on the doorpost, but they had seen all the previous signs that Moses, that God had promised that he would do to the Israelites. And Pharaoh had seen those signs. They had seen all those signs, and now they're told, get ready. And I think that speaks to us today, you know. We see all these signs that the Lord talks about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that are coming to pass. And that is telling us, hey, I never said, you know, lay back. He actually says, you know, have your lamps trimmed and burning. You know, be ready. And preparedness, you know, is a must. We're prepared, be prepared to leave out. It says in Luke 21:26, be ready, be prepared, because our redemption draweth nigh. Number two, we're prepared for service. You know, if the Lord calls on you to do something, you know, do you have an excuse or do you want to be of use? You know, I'm not the best teacher and I know that, but I'll try and I'll attempt and I'll ask the Lord to do the rest. You know, are we willing to serve? Are we willing to put ourselves out? Are we willing to humble ourselves? You know, put him first and his will and his kingdom first over ourselves. And that's, are we prepared for service, ready and willing to serve the Lord? A desire and burden to prepare others. You know, do we have our loins tightened up? Are we wanting someone else to go to heaven with us? Do we actually have that burden anymore? And I'm speaking to myself, and that's so. I'm going to read something here. Luke 12:35-40. This goes along the same lines. It says here, Luke 12:35-40. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself. There it is again. He shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour you think not. You know, if we're saved, we're ready. But where's our burden for our loss? You know, I think about, you know, I've got a sibling, you know, doesn't really, you know, talk about the Lord, doesn't really say much about it, you know, and I don't want to pressure him, but, you know, I've got a burden for him. But I'll find at times, it's almost like I'm just as cold. I'll think about him, and I'll be like, and I know I need to pray for him, and I know I need to go speak to him, you know, not try to drive it down his throat, but let him watch my witness, let him watch my testimony, you know, as an older brother. But there's times Satan will say, well, you know what? If he don't want the Lord, you know, he's 20-some years old. If he don't want the Lord by now, don't even worry about it. You know, he's been brought up, you know. That's Satan getting in our mind. That's Satan getting in our mind. And to be prepared, you know, as it says, you know, it was to hold tools, it was to hold money, and it was also an act to show that you were prepared for service. You know, a soldier has to have weapons. And a soldier has a sword. He got a buckler, which is a shield. He's got a helmet. He's prepared for battle. And most often when Satan comes to attack, you know, he's pretty much going to either attack your mind or he's going to attack your heart. And we've got to have our weapons. We've got to be girded up, and we've got to have our weapons. We've got to be ready for service, ready for war, because the warfare most often is in our mind. If it says here, you know, the first and foremost only way to prepare is first we must partake of the Savior. We must be girded about with the robe of righteousness. We must be robed with Him before we can ever gird our loins. You got to have a robe. And Christ gives us that robe. And that's the first and foremost point. To be born again, the blood on the doorpost was God's preparation for the Israelites. He was letting them know, you know, I've prepared for you. You just put the blood on the doorpost and I've done the rest. Abraham said, my God will prepare himself a lamb for a burnt offering. It says here, Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. There it talks about work again. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, in Isaiah it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Listen to this. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. So today, that's the first and foremost point here as we talk about this chapter in Exodus. The first thing they did was they cut up a lamb. They cooked it. They took the pertinence out. They ate of the lamb. They put the blood on the doorpost, and then they were ready. They had their loins girded about. They were ready. Hebrews 9:13-14 says, for if the bulls of goats and of ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean thing, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself up to God without spot purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so today I thank God that we have an opportunity to gird our loins, that we've been born again. So we see that we need to be ready ourselves for His return. We need to be looking for His return. And we see also that we need to be prepared to serve, and we need to prepare others to meet God. And that the time is short. We need to have our lamps lit. And so here I'm going to focus on where we need to have our loins girt about. Specifically where. And then lastly, I want to talk about how we can have our loins girt about. It says here, Peter says to gird up the loins of your mind. One of Satan's battlegrounds, probably his foremost battleground, is our minds. He cannot affect our salvation. But boy, he can drive into that mind. He can just, you know, he can go to town on that mind. He can continuously, you know, use things against you. He can bring up memories, you know, and try to attack you with your mind. It says, 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we must gird up our minds. You know, when you looked at that definition of gird, it says to hedge or to surround. And so if he says to gird up the loins of your mind, we're to hedge, we're to put a barrier, a hedge, a surrounding in our mind to prevent Satan from his attacks. How much we take into our minds on a daily basis? You think about that. How much we process in our minds on a daily basis? Now think about how much of that's spiritual. Our mind can be an area of weakness, as most often it is with me. It can control our functions, our decisions, and sometimes our desires outside of our heart. And you think about this, you know, everything you see on television, it's all tilted one way. It's all tilted one way. That tells you something right there. That the one behind it all, they have all things in common. So the one behind it all is the one that has all things in common. You know, you don't see any, you know, news stations or any news at all that talks about, you know, anything that pertains to, you know, the Christian life or anything good. And so if all the news stations are tilted, you know, one way, that tells you something. This world system is tilted that way. And so today, you know, our warfare is not fleshly. It's not carnal. It's spiritual. Now, they're fighting a carnal, fleshly battle. But the one behind them, Satan, with the Christian, he's fighting a spiritual battle. And so he says to gird up the loins of your mind. You know, be sober. It says here, the world system is at war with our mind. Satan tries to get us sidetracked, like John talked about, swerved. Tries to get you swerved. Focus on something else besides the Lord. You know, why read the Word of God? You know, you heard it at church Sunday. Why read it Monday? He knows he can attack our mind. God didn't save our mind. You know, he saved our soul. But along with that, he did give us the tools, you know, to keep our mind in peace, to keep our mind stayed on him. You think about Lot. It says here, living in such a wicked society, you know, and that's what we live in. It says he was vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And so, you know, living in a world that don't promote Christ, living in a world that's, you know, really going more toward the Antichrist, you know, we've got to be prepared. You know, we've got to settle our minds. Keep our minds stayed on the Lord. You think about mental scars and memories. You know, those memories that we had before we were saved. And those scars that we wish we could forget. You know, that we wish we could just forget and never remember again. Romans 7:22 says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But listen, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It means even when he tried to do right, his mind was the thing that warred against him sometimes. It wasn't necessarily Satan. It was just his mind warred against his own flesh. And sometimes forgetting is a good thing. You know, I thought about this. God forgave us of our sins, never to remember them again. But listen to this. But spiritual blessings, we should remember spiritual landmarks. And I think that's what it talks about over here in Exodus when it says that, you know, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. To go back and reflect on your landmarks, your spiritual landmarks. Go back and reflect when the Lord saved you. Go back and reflect, you know, the worst memory I ever had or the worst experience I ever had was the conviction of God. You know, and I remember at a time when God was dealing with me, this big storm came. And I remember all I heard was lightning in my grandmother's house. And I was scared, you know, and that was the fear of the Lord. You know, He puts the fear of the Lord in you, and that's the beginning of wisdom. And I thought, and I would sit there and shake, thinking, man, if I die and go to hell right now, or if He was to hit me with this lightning bolt, you know, there'd be no hope. And I'd sit and I'd have dreams, you know, of hell, and I'd have dreams of, you know, all the years I'd spent growing up in church, but I was no more than a Christ rejecter. I was no more than Judas, you know. And over time, God used that to convict me and draw me to Himself. But I go back now and I look at that memory, and it's a sweet memory of a hard time. It's a sweet memory to know that I've been truly born again, and that the Spirit of God, you know, drawed me to Him. And we need to remember our spiritual landmarks, you know, the spiritual landmarks when your loved one got saved, or, you know, when someone helped you, you know, come to the Lord. You know, those spiritual landmarks, we don't need to forget. And all through the Old Testament, and I looked at, you know, and I looked up some of those verses, the Israelites were told to always, they always reflected back on that time in Egypt. They always reflected back on when they went through the sea and all that happened in Egypt with the plagues. They were told to remember. And guess who's going to try to forget us to forget? Satan. And so today He says to gird up the loins of your mind. says Satan works for us to forget the things we should remember. Satan works to remind us of the things we should forget. So he works inadvertently. He's always attacking us at our weakest points. And here, let's see. It says, Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. So Paul even says, forget it. Forget it. Move on. Go on. You think about the mind and protecting the mind and putting a hedge around the mind. The only way you can put a hedge around the mind is with the Word of God, because it's a spiritual warfare. It's not a carnal warfare. But you think about in Ephesians 6 where it talks about the soldier. You know, it talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But it also talks about the helmet of salvation. You know, putting a steel helmet, a steel protective shell around your head. You know, and keep reflecting back on that salvation. Keep remembering your salvation. Keep remembering the salvation of others. Keep remembering those things that the Lord did in your life when He convicted and saved you. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we got to remember, you know, it's important for us to gird up the loins of our mind, because as he said here in 2 Corinthians, you know, Satan's not fighting us on a battleground of flesh and blood. It's an invisible battle. It's a spiritual battle. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we can renew our mind. And then lastly, the way we gird up the loins of our mind is with truth, with the Word of God. And let me read this verse. It's Ephesians 6:14. It says, stand therefore. Notice he's saying to stand. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And so we're to have our loins girt about with truth. Just truth. That's all he says. He doesn't say truth and another sword. Just simple truth. Now, this is important in a world that changes, that wants to change the truth of God into a lie. You know, it's important, and we don't know right now, but you know, you can already see signs of they're taking everything that's holy, They're taking God's truth and they're trying to flip it around and actually reverse God's truth. In other words, truth they're trying to put up as a lie, and a lie they're trying to put up as truth. And so in the last days, you know, and it talks about that in Romans chapter 1. In a day when that's happening, you know, we need to gird up the loins of our mind with truth. You know, you talk about Jesus, you know, when Satan tempted him, he only used the Word of God. He didn't go do some kind of exercise or some kind of miracle. He just used the Word of God. It says here, Romans 1 talks about they would change the truth of God into a lie, and they would worship the creature more than the Creator. Having the Word of God is priceless. Do we know the price, what worth this is to the Christian? I thought about that. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ is priceless. You know, which means having no price. You can never put a price on it. 1,000 worlds would never attain to the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. But think about the price of this Bible, the Word of God. I couldn't be up here right now talking about having your loins girded without the Word of God. You know, it gives us direction. It gives us light. It gives us warning. You know, and it also gives us the knowledge of Satan and his devices, you know, and his tricks and his plots and his schemes. One day God's going to judge this world according to truth. That's what Romans 2:2 talks about. His word is forever settled in heaven. This word is settled now. There's not going to be a new edition. We don't need any new versions. It's settled in heaven. God's put his stamp on it. He said, the work's finished, and the word's settled in heaven. So now we can rely on this word as a completed work. It says here, his word is forever settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25. It says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is an everlasting book. It's not temporal, like our flesh and like this world. You know, you think about the different trends and things that it seems like the world is just rocking and reeling all the time. It never has any stable consistency. You know, one day this is popular, next day this is popular. It's just inconsistent all the time. And not only is the Word of God settled in heaven, it means it's steady. It's not going to change. It says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no better way to arm yourself than with Jesus Christ himself. And he says, he's not a way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we can arm ourselves, we can gird up the loins of our mind with truth through Jesus Christ. He must meditate and fill our minds with the Word of God. He cannot gird our loins with truth if we don't spend time in the Scripture. And I'm speaking to myself here. But if we don't spend time in his Word, you know, knowing what to do when we're attacked, knowing what to do when Satan attacks our mind, then we're not going to be wise of his deceptions. And it's a preparation book. You think about just truth in general. It's a preparation book. It prepares us. It will prepare the saint, and I thought of this, and the sinner. Had it not been for the Word of God, even when God was convicting me, I wouldn't really know what to do next or where to go next. You can't be saved void of truth. You can't be saved absent of God's truth. So I thank God for the Word of God, because not only did it save us, but, you know, it's able to save others. Just the Word of God. I would lay up at night and read the Word of God. I would flip through it and read it, you know, when I knew people wasn't watching or they couldn't see me, trying to figure out righteousness and salvation. Am I truly saved? Well, surely God will tell me in here somehow. And the more I'd read, the more I'd be convicted. And I'd say, well, I'm going to go to the Old Testament because I know it might be a little bit lighter. And I'd get over and read the Old Testament, and every verse I'd read that my eyes would hit would be a more convicting verse than the New Testament. And I thought, and it felt like I was being stabbed continuously in my heart. And I thought, man, this ain't right. And then I'd go to Genesis, and I'd read in Genesis, and it would talk about the sacrifice. And I'd think, the sacrifice, you know, I've been around the sacrifice in Christ my whole life, but I've been a rejecter. And it'd just be another stab. And it got so bad to a point, you know, and I was a pretty, I guess you'd say, prideful person. I didn't want somebody to see me cry or see my emotions. And I'd try to hold things in, just stay to myself. But that one night, you know, I got over there reading in just a random verse, and it talked about, you know, the Lord didn't strive with them anymore. It talks about in Genesis. They were so corrupt, He didn't strive with them anymore. And I read that verse, and I thought, oh, no, that's me. And I went on there and woke my parents up, and they come in there, and they were scared to death, thinking, they thought it was a nightmare because they were asleep. But to me, it was a nightmare. And that day God saved me, you know, that's a landmark, spiritual landmark that I'll always retain in my mind. And Satan will do all he can to have me forget it, to not remember it. So today, you know, the Lord's saying, gird up the loins of your mind, and how you do it is gird it up with truth. It says here, John 17:17, and I'm about done. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so today the word of God sanctifies us as we walk through this world. In fact, you can't walk through this world without getting dirty somehow in some way. Your feet get dirty, your hands get dirty, your minds gets dirty, not because you're in willful sin, but because, you know, you're walking through, you're a stranger. You're walking through a land. You're going to take some of that dust with you. You're going to take, you know, some of that dirt and grime with us. So we need to, you know, have our hands and our feet, our minds, our hearts, you know, and our loins, everything cleaned. And that can only be by the truth, the Word of God. It is by truth that we're sanctified, brought to Christian maturity. We cannot gird the loins of our mind without the truth. The truth helps us set our affections on things above. It gives us a focal point, you know, to focus. It tells us where to focus. The truth is responsible for us all being here today. It says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. If we didn't have the Word of God to tell us that, we probably wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know where to be. You know, we'd probably, knowing us and our human nature, we would reverse that. We would say, well, it's better to be alone and worship God and not be with fellow Christians. But because of the Word of God, we're here today. Truth edifies the church. Jesus told the woman at the well, He said, "Spirit, you're to worship in spirit and in truth." He said, there'll come a day that, you know, you can worship the Father anywhere, basically. But it must be, He must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Truth tells us of Satan's devices, his schemes, his deceptions. It is by the truth we are saved. And by the truth is the only way our loved ones will be saved. And I've got just a few verses here and I'm done. It says Philippians 4:18. I wrote these down this morning. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, it says, think on these things. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so today it's just a small exhortation, you know, for us to always be prepared, not only for the battle, and prepared, you know, to leave out of here, but, you know, a desire to try to prepare others. Because if we have it this bad, you know, and we're saved and born again, you know, we have trials and afflictions all the time. You know, think of a sinner. You know, in a sense, you could word it like this, he don't have a fighting chance. Without God, he don't have a fighting chance. Without the Word of God, you know, they don't have a chance. They don't have a guard for their mind. They don't have a helmet of salvation. So Satan can take their mind in any way possible, and most often he takes it in the way of the world. So, thank you.